Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast hosted by Apostle Shirley Jones. She is the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Service on Sunday is at 10 a.m., and we would be honored to have you come out to worship and fellowship with us. We are indeed being blessed by the Lord every Sunday. We have Bible study via teleconference every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-432-3100. The access code is 386-279. Apostle Jones's book, Lifeline, When God Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any place books are sold. You can also send your request to www.shirleyjjones.com. To purchase the books along with the worship CD birthed during her time sitting before the Lord. Lifeline, When God Speaks, is a book of encouraging words that God gave for her life, and now she shares to encourage you in your journey. So be sure to get a copy. Apostle Jones can be reached via email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org. or by phone at 1-877-354-6082. She would love to hear from you. Remember, the broadcast is the first Monday of each month. Get the word out. Now, to Lifeline Broadcast with Apostle Shirley Jones.
Well, good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining me tonight for the Lifeline broadcast. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to God be all the glory. As always, I am just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This is a network that's doing the work of the kingdom building throughout the world. And we are in such a time now that the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. So I pray that the work of this network continues to be about kingdom building. To God be the glory. Amen and amen and amen. Well, I pray that everyone has had a wonderful day and you've had some time just to get quiet before the Lord during the day and allow him to just to continually just keep you and download some wisdom and revelation to you about the times that we're in, but also about your life. So I want to just give a invitation tonight before I get into the word. Why don't you guys join us, Rehoboth Family Life Center, on Sunday morning via Facebook Live. And that's at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to Facebook and look up my name, and there you will be able to hook into the live broadcast on Sunday morning. So also invite your family and friends to join in with you, because this is such an awesome time, excuse me, this is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. And we're just having a really good time in the Lord. We are back in the building, not to actually have church service, but we're back in the building to do our broadcasting, and God is just blessing that. So join us on Sunday morning where we have worship, and where we're supping around the word, and God is just blessing us each and every Sunday morning. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to open us up in prayer and then I'm going to go ahead and jump into the word for tonight. So, Father God, we just bless you, God, and we honor you, Lord God, and we give you praise, and we give you thanksgiving, God, and we give you glory. God, we thank you for your loving kindness, oh, God, in all the things that you do and all the things that are still yet to come. And, God, we say that there's nothing that's too hard for you. And so we thank you, Lord God, for today, for how you kept us all day long, God, and not allowing any harm or danger to befall us. And for that, my Lord, we are grateful. So I pray tonight that, God, that blessings will be upon these, your people. I pray that if there be any sick among us, that, God, that your hand would be upon them, that, God, that healing shall be their portion. I pray now, Lord God, that minds would be encouraged tonight, that joy would be restored, and that, God, that somebody will grab hold to hope and know that everything gonna be all right. So, Father, I just give myself over to you freely. I pray that, God, that you would use me, God, tonight to bless your people. And, Father God, I'll bless you for it, and I'll say that it was you, Father, because it's always you. So we give you praise tonight. We give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Well, bless the Lord. We have been talking, I believe I started this message, yeah, in August, and then we didn't have a broadcast. We did a repeat in September because I believe it was Labor Day. And then in October, we did part two. And I still had a little bit more that I wanted to give out. And so tonight, that's what I want to do. I want to end this. I believe this is going to be the end of a series called Stay the Course. And this is actually part three. Well, I pray tonight that you and your family are well. And again, I am just so excited about the things of God and all that he has done, he's doing, and he shall do. We are indeed in unprecedented times, and God still remains God. As you go through the week, I just want everybody to be encouraged. As you go through this week, be sure to pray, to watch, and to vote if you have not already done so. God is our keeper, and he will give us wisdom and directions as we stay focused and before him. Hear me now. It is so important. I woke up in the middle of the night about 4 o'clock this morning, and God just began to speak to me to send out a word to the people, to the church, and then also posted later in the morning that during this week we have to begin to pray even the more, but we have to watch. And like I said, if you have not voted, to go out and do so. But I believe that God has given us instructions to pray, but as well as praying, but we need to be watching during this time. So we're going to talk about staying the course. And, you know, we've been in this now, what's this, about 7 or 8, probably about 8 months, really started when things started shutting down. Excuse me. When things started shutting down, probably about mid-March, and we're now in the beginning of November. And the longer we are here, the more distractions, anxiety, and even fear and our own desire for familiarity begins to pull at us. You know, we are okay maybe for the first month or two. It was kind of strange, and then we kind of found our groove a little bit. But then, you know, we're now in 6, 7, 8 months. The longer we're here, now we're longing for things that are familiar. We're longing to get out of this. We're longing to get these masks off. We want to hang out with some friends. We want to take a vacation. There are things that we want to do. But because of the way things are going, that we have to continually stay the course. And let me say this. I know it's not easy because, trust me, I like to go jump on a plane right now, go to a beach someplace, and just have some lemonade and some iced tea, or take a plane to Paris if Paris was okay. But it's not. So I know it's not easy by no means, but hear me now, but we must stay the course. We must stay the course. So what's the course? What is the course? The course is those things that you have been doing that has enabled you to be victorious during this time. Instructions and wisdom from God. Do not allow circumstances and the enemy to cause you to jump ship. I'm saying tonight, stay the course that has been set for you. There are a lot of things, ideas, and theories that are swirling around in the earth, but remember that we must stay on course regardless. Regardless, regardless of what you hear, regardless of what you see, do not be pulled off of what God is instructing you to do and what God has already instructed you to do to give you, has already given you the victory during these months. So how do we stay the course? How do we stay the course? We stay the course by knowing that our God is greater than anything that we're confronted with, anything that may come in our sphere, in our space, that God is greater than anything. That causes us not to be pulled off, because when we don't know that our God is greater, we begin to get antsy, we become fearful, we become doubtful, we start to come up with means of escape. We start to pull on things that were familiar before. We start to do those things. But when we know, hallelujah, that our God is greater, it helps us to stay the course. It helps us to stay before God. It helps us to stay still. It helps us to get quiet. So how do we stay the course? Knowing God is greater. Acknowledging that we don't have the answers outside of God. And this is something I mentioned to the church one yesterday, that right now a lot of people that are in positions, say in the government, even the scientists, a lot of things people are still trying to figure it out, because we've not been here. It's unprecedented. We've never been here before. And so people are coming up with theories. People are coming up with ideas. And, you know, they think, okay, this is the answer. And then maybe 2 days later, they'll come back and say, you know what, that was the answer then, but we have found out that it's not really all of the answer. There's some other things that we found out the more that we go further in this thing. So we have to understand right now and acknowledge that we do not have the answers outside of God. God is the one that knows everything. He knows about this virus that's out here. He knows the width, the length, the strength, the direction. He knows all the components of it. He knows everything, even about all the affairs of the earth. He knows everything. And so when we acknowledge that I don't have any answers outside of God, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," this is Paul, he says, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Here was Paul. Paul was a learned man, but he said he understood that when he spoke to them, that he wasn't trying to tell them something fancy. He wasn't trying to show them, you know, how much he knew. He said, because the one thing that he had learned, that the thing that will save people and change people is the fact that it was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And see, and that's where we have to be. Paul said, "I am determined." And we have to be that determined, that I don't have the answers. I don't know. We've never been here before. I've never been here before. I don't know what it's going to take for my family. I don't know what it's going to take for the church. That I've got to be able to hear God. And I can use the example with us now with church. We thought about kicking around the idea, well, maybe we can go back after we've done like 3 broadcasts from the church, then we can begin to invite people in to come back. But the more that we were in there Sunday after Sunday and through prayer and getting before God, we understood that, no, we can't do that, because even with having 6 people in that room, it still takes a lot to make sure that we're safe. It takes things to make sure that we have things in order. And the more people that you bring in, the more liability that you have, the more things that you have to put in place. And so, you know, we don't have no good ideas in this thing. You know, we plan as much as we know to plan. We put things in place that we know that will bring about safety. and keeping the people safe that are coming to the building to help out with the broadcast. But besides that, we go before God. Pastor Irma and I and the leadership, we stay on our face before God that he can tell us, because he knows what works, he knows what doesn't work, and he knows what's the best way. He knows that our heart's desire is that everybody that comes in that room is safe. So I bless God for that. We acknowledge we don't know what to do. We never had to plan for a pandemic. We never had to put things in place that, that people can come in. Everybody's got to have a mask on and taking temperature checks and making sure people are spread out. We never had to do this before. So during this time, we all have to acknowledge that we do not have the answers outside of God. But the blessing of that is that when we acknowledge that we don't have the answer, but we serve a God that knows everything, that sees everything, that has all power, that has all authority. And so I can go to God and I can say to God, what do I do in this situation? So it's going to be imperative that we stay before the Lord, we stay before God, and we acknowledge that we don't have the answer. And this way, I'm not trying to wiggle my way out of things. I'm not trying to come up with a means of escape, but I'm going before my God and asking him, what do I need to do that keeps me grounded? Hallelujah. That keeps me rooted, that keeps me there, and doesn't keep me floundering back and forth. Also, that during this time of knowing that God is greater, we have to acknowledge our place of struggle, our place of struggle. Mark 9, 23 and 24 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. Now here was, this was the man who had the son that was throwing himself on the ground and he was having fits and he was doing things and the enemy inside of him was just ripping his body apart. And imagine this. This man had seen his son go through this for years and people had come through town and it looked like they could help his son, but they couldn't. But now Jesus comes to town and he sees that Jesus is a healer. He sees that Jesus is a deliverer and he believes that Jesus can help his son. But in the same token, there's a side of him that every time that he thinks about Jesus healing his son, the thoughts of what he saw his son go through, he thinks about all the people that had said that they could help him that he didn't. So what he says is that I believe that you can, but help my unbelief. So there was a side of him that he wrestled with of believing and not believing. So during this time, guys, that we're in this thing that's going through over these months that we've been here, I'm quite sure that we've all struggled with some thoughts about, well, I wonder if I'm going to be okay. Is my family going to be okay? Will I lose my job? And will I be able to feed my family? And you know, am I going to get the virus? All of these things that we struggle with, these thoughts. But when we acknowledge that there is a struggle, then we can go to God and we can say, God, this is how I'm feeling. Help me in those areas that I'm struggling in. And I want to say that to somebody tonight, that you may have been struggling with some things over the last few days, but I say to you tonight that if you get before God, if you get before God and allow him to know the areas in which you're struggling, because he already knows it, but he wants to talk to you about it. When you can go to God and you can say that I'm struggling in these areas and I need you to help me in these areas so that I'll be able to stay the course. Because what's happening to you right now, that you're starting to get antsy, you're wondering how long am I going to be able to do this, and you're thinking about methods and means by which to come out of this. But I say to you tonight that you don't have the means to do it by yourself, but there is a God that has all the answers that you're going to need. And as you go before him and you tell him, but God, I don't know what to do for my family. I'm not sure what I can do for my children. I don't know what's going to happen to my job. But tell him your struggles, because struggles are real. We are in a body of flesh. We are not, hear me now, We are not glorified bodies. We are in a body of flesh that we struggle with things, but our struggle is not bigger than the God that we serve. So you can go to God even tonight and begin to tell him about those struggles that you have and allow him to speak to you and give you revelation, give you wisdom, and give you instruction. Another way that we can stay the course by knowing that God is greater is through prayer. And I bless God for prayer because prayer is a privilege for kingdom dwellers. That is one of the weapons, I would say weapons and instruments that God has given us as believers that we can pray. And I am so blessed by God. At the end of 2019, God told us for Rehoboth, he said, for 2020, I need you to focus on prayer. And he said to us that prayer is your lifeline. Prayer is your lifeline. And so even starting on yesterday, he said to me, he says, I need you to now go to the end of the year. He said, the way you started off the year, I need you to finish off the year. So yesterday, I began to circle back to some of the messages that I'm going to be teaching on until the end of the year. But not only am I going to circle back on those messages about prayer, but we're going to spend time in prayer. It's not enough to talk about prayer, to teach about prayer, but this is a time that we really need to pray. And so on yesterday, I laid down the foundation on some of the teaching that would be forthcoming, but I used the last 10 or 15 minutes to pray for everybody that was on the service online, the few people that were in the sanctuary, and asking God to bless us and God to keep us. It's so important now that we have got to pray because prayer indeed is our lifeline. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I love the way they do it in the Message Bible. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Oh, glory to God. When Christ displaces worry at the center of your life, prayer indeed is our lifeline. That's the vehicle and the instrument that's going to help us stay the course. Prayer helps us to get it up off of us and give it over to God so that we can get quiet and we can be still. So that's another way of knowing that God is greater so that we can stay the course. Another way is that we must trust and go beyond the natural realm. Isaiah 55, 8-11 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Glory to God. We must trust and go beyond the natural realm. There are so many things right now in this moment. There are things that are happening upon the earth. But let me say this. Do not get so caught up or caught off by what you hear and what you see, because there are bigger things and different things that are operating in the spirit realm. There are things that are happening behind the scenes that we can't see. But we know a God that knows everything. He said that his ways are not your ways. Excuse me. and his thoughts are not your thoughts. He said right there, but his word shall not come back void. God knows everything. So in order to be able to stay the course, you have got to be able to trust that your God is going to show you things that are happening behind the scenes. I think I shared this with you guys before, that early on, the beginning of the year, I kept seeing puppeteers. I kept seeing these strings being pulled. And I said, God, what is that? And he said that there are things that are happening behind the scenes. There are occasions and people and processes that are happening behind the scenes that you can't see in the natural. So that's why during this time to stay the course, do not be thrown off by what you see, but allow God to reveal to you the truth of the matter. God knows a lot of stuff that's happening is to throw us off. A lot of things that are happening is to distract us. A lot of things that are happening is to deceive us. A lot of things that's happening is to frighten us. A lot of things that are happening is for us to put our guard down. A lot of things that are happening is to get us off course. Hear me now. Hear me now. A lot of things have been planned out, but we know a God that's more strategic than any other plan that anybody could put together. But you got to be able to hear God for the truth of the matter. We got to hear God so he can reveal to us the seed of the enemy. We got to hear God so he can reveal to us what we need to do at every juncture, at every turn. It's not always what it looks like, but it's a lot of things that are happening outside of what we see. Excuse me tonight, guys. I got this drainage that's happening all of a sudden, but the devil is a liar. I'm going to be able to get through this message tonight. So we just bless God. So we've got to trust him and go beyond the natural realm. It is bigger what's happening behind the scenes, and we want God to reveal that to us so that we'll know what to do, where to go, how to go, what to believe, what not to believe, what to engage in, and what to avoid. Hear me now. Hear me now, because that's what's going to help us stay the course. Every time you begin to get antsy, every time you see something and you want to move and you want to change your course of action, it is a trick from the enemy to try to get you off course. Because if he can pull you out of the place where God has you, then there's things on the other side that's waiting for you. Prime example, and I think I've shared this before, I remember I used to take walks in the morning, and the Lord had directed me to go to this football field that I could sit in the sun, and it was in the winter, but it was sun shining, and I was going to go to the field and sit and get quiet before the Lord. And I had made this run maybe two or three times, and I was going down the street the particular day, and I happened to look out of the side of my eye, and I saw that there was a side street that would get me to the field faster than the route that I was taking, and not only the route that I was taking, but the route that he had shown me. And as soon as I turned off of the route that I normally take, I got halfway down the street, and this dog just jumped out of nowhere and started yapping at me, about to try to bite me. And I was like, I just began to plead the blood on the dog. I was saying, in the name of Jesus. And he backed up. And then I started walking down the street the other way, and he came at me again, and I just started to plead the blood on the dog again. And this time he left. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, but every time, he said, you take a shortcut. Every time you turn off of the road that I have showed you to take, know that there's always an enemy waiting to devour you. Hear me now. Every time that we get off course, hear me, I said stay the course. Every time that we get off course, there is an enemy waiting to devour us. There's an enemy waiting to off us. There's an enemy waiting to confuse us. There's an enemy waiting to lie to us. There's an enemy waiting to take us off course that God has called for us. So during this time, you got to get this stuff in the spirit so that you can stay the course, knowing that if I stay here, that my God is going to reveal to me the trick of the enemy. He's going to do, like, you know, in a lot of the debates and things, they have these people called the fact checkers. and they be checking everything that comes out of the person's mouth. But we know a God that is a fact checker. You know, he will tell you the truth of the matter, no matter how good it sounds, and no matter how flowery it sounds, but God knows the truth of the matter. And that's the way we stay the course, guys, if we just stay planted in God and go beyond the natural realm. Luke 18:27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Oh, glory to God. Right here, we're saying that God is greater. All the things that are impossible with man becomes possible with God. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We serve a God that has all power. He has all power and all presence. He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And when there was nothing, God was. And when everything is gone, God still will be. Oh, glory to God. So that helps us right there to stay the course, because my God is greater. Even when it seems impossible for me, that I know that I have a God that will show me, a God that will bring me through, a God that will lead me, a God that will guide me so that everything will be okay. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, and thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Right here, what they're basically saying in the scripture is, get out your head. Don't try to do this stuff in your head. Don't try to understand it. Just follow God. He says, we don't know how the bones of a child grows in a mother's womb. We just know it happens. The baby grows. We don't know all the things that happens and all the things that go into it, but we know the bones are growing on this child that's in the womb. So just like that, we know that. We got to know that God is faithful and God is able and God knows all things. Stop trying to get it in your head, trying to understand all the things that are happening, because we don't possess enough to be able to understand it, but we serve a God that does. We are wasting energy when we're trying to understand things that are out of our scope, out of our reach, and not getting before a God that can tell us and show us and lead us and guide us. Oh, glory to God. So we got to get out of our head trying to make sense of it, because some of this stuff ain't going to make no sense. But we serve a God that knows all things. Isaiah 37:8, it says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Oh, I love this scripture. I love this scripture. Here it was, the Israelites. They were trying to depend on the Egyptians to help them in a battle that they were about to go through. But Isaiah tells them, he says that the Egyptians shall help in vain. They're not going to help you. They will not help you. It will not come to anything. He said, but tell them this. Tell the Israelites that their strength is to sit still. And I believe that that is a word for us even tonight, because it says, go write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Well, guess what, guys? We are living in the forever, forever, forever moment right now. And he says that, tell them that this is one of those things, those principles that's from everlasting to everlasting, that their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. He's talking to us that during this time that we have to get still before him. That's where our strength is going to lie. Our strength is not in hither and thither and going to and fro. Right now, we've got to sit still, because that's where our strength lies. And is it easy? No. I know they call it COVID fatigue, that we're tired of being restricted. We're tired of doing this and not being able to go. But this is not the time now to become antsy and to become so fatigued that you jump out there and put yourself in danger. What we have to do is get before God, stay before God, and stay the course so that we can be able to hear him and to be all that he's calling us to be. Oh, glory to God. That's how we stay the course. Now, let's talk about some benefits of staying the course. Remember, we talked about staying the course as those things that you have learned during this time. And we all have learned some things about ourselves. Because remember, I said that we have been so busy before the pandemic, so busy that we missed a lot of things. We missed some things about our marriages, about our children, about ourselves, about our attitudes, certain things. We were like almost an automatic pilot because we were so busy. We just automatically were doing things. Some things we weren't even engaged in. Some things we weren't even embracing. We were just going through the motions on so many things. But I believe that during this time that God has alerted us, God has showed us that because we've got a little bit still and a little bit quiet, that he's been able to show us those areas in which we missed. But let me say this, is that during this time that you have to keep the lessons handy and continue to put in practice what you have learned. In other words, stay the course. Stay the course. All the things that you have learned, don't try to go back to where they used to be, but use those lessons wisely. You know, don't abandon the mileage. I couldn't think of another word, mileage that you've gotten in your marriage. Don't go back to having an attitude that you had prior. Don't go back to taking each other for granted. With your children, understand how they're wired. Our children, all of our children, I know I have all three of my sons were wired differently. They have three different personalities. But when you understand how they're wired, then you're able to minister to them and be able to help them in so many areas. So there are things that God has shown you, even about you. There's some truths that you thought were true that God is saying, but no, that's not true. God has shown you some things that you said that you shouldn't have said. And now we've got to take those lessons, guys, and we got to keep those lessons and embrace life with those lessons so that we can make sure that we're doing it the way God has said. Just like Joseph. Remember, Joseph, once he got to the place of command, he pulled on everything that he learned along the way about operating in his gifting, the favor of God upon his life, and the culture of the people he now found himself over, and mostly learning from time working from the head guard and in the prison. Here was Joseph. We know the story how Joseph went from the pit to the palace and all the stuff in between. He was in prison. He was in the pit. But when he became and he got to the palace, all the things that he learned, see, he could have been in prison. He could have been in the prison to learn something, which he did. He was in the prison long enough to be able to understand the culture of the Egyptians. He was not an Egyptian, but he was in there long enough to learn some lessons so that when he got to the place of being second in command to the king, that he could operate in his position. Oh, glory to God. There are benefits that you have learned. Keep hold to the benefits because there are benefits in staying the course. We talk about Ruth. Remember when Ruth, this is Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 to 19, one of my favorite. And this is when, remember, Naomi and Ruth and Oprah, and Naomi's husband had died, and Ruth and Oprah's husband had died. These were her sons. They died too. And she was about to go back to Bethlehem because she was able to go back because now it said that the famine had lifted. And this is what she said. She said, behold, she's talking to Ruth. She's talking to Ruth. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. Oh, glory to God. Here was two people. And I shared this at church one Sunday. There were two women. They had the same experiences. They came from the same hometown. They worship idol gods, but they lived with Naomi, and they both married Naomi's sons, and both of their husbands died. Naomi's husbands die, and she gets ready to go back. So now they have to make a decision that do they go back or do they go forward? Oh, glory to God. There are benefits in staying the course. Ruth decided, I'm in this. I'm staying in this. I've been with this lady. I've seen how she handled her business. I know she had to hear Naomi praying, because Naomi had to pray after she lost her husband and she lost her sons, and now she's by herself with these two women. But Oprah was like, I'm out. I'm out, because I don't know anything about her people. I don't even know anything about that, but what I do know, see how easy it is to go back to something that's familiar, because that's what she did. She chose to go back to something familiar. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to stay with Naomi. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to be with her. And she says, no. She said, only thing that's going to separate me is from you is going to be death. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried too. And look what happens. Look what happened. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David. So what awaits you? Come on now. What awaits you? The course for your life has already been mapped out. And as you listen and obey instructions, destiny and purpose shall kiss. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. This portion, like I think of myself, this portion of my life was not in Philly but here. I would have missed it had I stayed out of fear of the unknown. I am so glad that my trust and faith in God outweighed my fear of the unknown. My life was not in Philadelphia. My life was here in this area. This is where my life began to open up. Destiny and purpose was here, not there. But what if I had stayed because I wanted to stay with something that was familiar? But I'm so glad that he began to show me that he loved me and that he had my best interest at heart, and that if he could take care of me in Philly, he could take care of me anywhere. Oh, glory to God. Here she was. She chose the better part. She chose to hang out and stay the course. Oh, glory to God. And then we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. And this is when, remember when the decree went out and said that anybody who doesn't fall down to worship the king when they blew the trumpet, that they were gonna be put to death or in the lion's den, and not in the lion's den, they would be thrown in the furnace. They were gonna be thrown in the furnace. So this is what happens. It says, if it be so, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, these boys was bad. They said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I have made a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Oh, glory to God. When they threw him in the furnace, first the folks that threw him in, they got burnt up. And then when they looked in, he says, wait a minute, didn't we throw three in? And they look like there's a fourth one, looks like the Son of Man. Oh, God, the Son of God. It looks like the Son of God that's walking around in them, and they are loosed. But look at them. They stayed the course, y'all. They stayed the course. They said, no, we are not going to worship any foreign god. We are going to believe God. Either he God or he's somebody else. Either he deliver us or he don't deliver us. But whatever, which way this play out, we are not going to serve other gods. And here they gave them a promotion, and the king sent out a decree that everybody couldn't say anything against the God of Meshach, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They stayed the course, y'all. There are benefits. Promotions came for them. What's coming for you when you stay the course? Trust me, your life has already been mapped out. God has already placed in somebody's heart and somebody's mind about you. There are doors that God will open for you if you stay the course. Come on now. We're not going to be in this all the time. This too is going to pass, but we've got to stay the course so that when we come out of this, that we can go to what God has said. During this time, we got to stay the course, and you got to know that the greater awaits you. The greater awaits you. This is not how it's going to be forever, y'all. Come on, we ain't going to be in this like this forever. Haggai 2:9 says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." He says that the latter shall be greater than the former. The things that we used to do, that we used to like. But I just believe that the things that are happening now and the changes that God's making in our lives are making us richer as far as, not only talking about material things, I'm talking about richer in the spirit. I'm talking about richer in my attitude, richer in how I treat my fellow man, richer in how I view my home and my children and my marriage and all the things that God has for me. My latter shall be greater than my former. You got to know that the greater awaits you. And when you can grasp that, then you can stay the course and say, but I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to wait on God because the greater awaits me. And I know that if I stay the course, that I am going to intercept, that destiny and purpose is going to kiss, yay, God, and it's going to produce what God says is supposed to be in my life. John 14:12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Right here, greater works, y'all, greater works. There is the greater. There's still greatness that awaits you. There's still things that God has for you. Even in the pandemic, I have seen people get promotions. I have seen people get new jobs. I have seen people get married. Matter of fact, I did a wedding back in April when it just started to happen with the pandemic, and people get still getting married. I see people have bought houses. People have moved. I mean, there's so many things that have happened during this time. God is still moving, y'all. God is still moving, and there is still much more to come. Know that even now, that God is working things out for you. Let me say that to somebody right there. God is working things out for you. God is working behind the scenes on your behalf, that something is going on that you can't even see. But he told me to tell somebody, I don't know who's this for. He says, "But I am working things out for you. I am working things out for you. I am working things out for you." Remember with Mordecai and Haman, this is in Esther chapter 6. I'm going to read down to 1 to 11. It says, "On that night," and this is when the king was trying to, he couldn't sleep. And this is where they had put a decree out that they were going to kill all the Jews. But it says, "On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of the two king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hold of the king. And the king said, 'What honor and dignity has thou done to Mordecai for this?'" Now here was, the Jews were going to get killed. Well, Mordecai was a Jew, and Haman had a plot to make sure that all the Jews were killed, especially Mordecai. He had built a gallows that he's going to get hung on, the whole nine yards. But God, in the middle of the night, and I've said this before, in the middle of the night, the king trying to go to sleep, he tossing and turning, he can't sleep. He says, "Bring me the books of the Chronicles." Of all the things he wanted to read, he wanted to read the books of the Chronicles. And whoever picked this particular volume, because I know there had to be more than one book, probably a lot of books, somebody whoever brought him the book, brought him the book about the time when this Mordecai guy was able to tell the king that his chamberlains were trying to kill him. And he said, did we ever do anything for Mordecai? And he calls Haman, and Haman was the one that had plotted all this stuff. And that's when he said, no, we never did anything for him. And this way he talks to Haman, and Haman he's thinking it's all about him, but it's really all about Mordecai. In the middle of the night, I'm saying that to somebody, I don't know who you are, but God says, I'm working it out for you right now. Right now I'm working it out, just like he did for the Israelites, for the Jews. That for the Jews, he told, he had the king not sleep. He touched somebody to tell him, go get that particular book. It was like probably some spotlight on that particular book, on that particular volume. And he started reading it in the middle of the night. And this was right before they got ready to kill all the Jews, the Jewish people, especially Mordecai. Come on. Don't tell me what God can't do. God has so many ways of working it out. If we stay the course, y'all, stay the course. Mordecai didn't try to defend himself. Mordecai just told Esther, you need to go see the king. You know, go see the king. You know, he gave her instructions. But the king was able to read the chronicles to find out about Mordecai and raise Mordecai up and just put his kingly garments on him and had a big parade for him and everything. He celebrated the same one that they were trying to off. God is working things out for you. Let me say that. I don't know who you are tonight, but I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see how God's going to bless you. I'm excited to see how God's going to work it out for you, because he said to tell you, I'm working it out for you right now. He said, stay the course. Stay the course. If I could wake up the king, if I could tell the king and not let the king sleep, and if I could touch one of his servants to bring him the exact book, he said, what more can I do for you? Oh, glory to God. Oh, somebody ought to be celebrating on that one right now and say to yourself that, yes, God is working things out for me, and because he is, I'm going to stay the course. I am going to stay the course. I'm not going to be pulled off. I'm not going to get anxious. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be doubtful. But I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to let God work it out. Work it out, because he said he's working it out for me. For me. Make that thing personal with you tonight. God is working it out for me. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see what God does. I'm excited to see how God flipped that thing and turned it all around. I've seen him do it too many times, and God said once again, he's going to do it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I got excited on that one, because somebody's about to be blessed. Somebody about to see that God's word is true. His word is true. Know this. Know this. Your experience are not just about you or for you, but beyond you, for every family, the next generation, and even somebody else unrelated to you. We are called to be conduits of the presence and the love of God. I know you're probably thinking, like I have so many times, but God, they can go ahead and read a book, they can hear a message, or they can get it another way. But God knows the perfect way. So like Jesus declared, if this cup could pass, but nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. I encourage you to do so today. Trust the word. Trust the word. Hear me now. Trust the word. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, hallelujah, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Stay the course. Stay the course. It's just not about you, but it's about your family. It's about the next generation. It's even about people that you don't know nothing about, because God is calling us to carry his glory, to carry his presence, to carry his love, to carry a testimony that somebody's life will be blessed. God says that he knows the perfect way for destiny and purpose to kiss. Oh, glory to God. He knows the exact way. And he says, and even in this, I'm working it out. I'm working it out, because know that all things work together for the good. That even though this may look strange to you right now, but he said, but when I bring you through, when you look back in retrospect, that you'll say, but that's why God did that. But God said, but can you trust me without me telling you, Will you trust me without me asking you? Will you just trust me because you've been in this thing with me? You know that I'm faithful. You know that I'm able. He says, don't forget. Don't forget where we've been. Don't forget what I've already done. Don't forget how I've blessed you. Don't forget how I've made ways for you. He said, I haven't stopped. I'm not exhausted. My mercies don't stop, and my faithfulness is not exhausted towards you. He said, it still remains. He said, so therefore know that I have you, and I'm going to bring you through, and this too shall pass. Oh, glory to God. Stay the course. Stay the course. I encourage you tonight, stay the course. There are benefits in staying the course. There's benefits in staying the course. And know that your God is greater than anything and everything that we would ever go through. So, Father God, we just bless you tonight. Ha, yay, God, yay, God, yay, God, yay, God. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you. Yay, God, we bless you and we honor you, Lord God. And we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory. God, we thank you tonight for an encouraging word. Oh, God, that you've come to tell us tonight, God, to stay the course. Oh, God, not to move and not to be deceived, God, and not to be fearful and not to be doubtful and not to just go about what we see, but allowing you to reveal the truth of the matter. Allow you, God, to show us in the spirit, God, what's really going on. Oh, God, I thank you for allowing us know that there are benefits, God, and there's promotions in this, oh, God, and there are things that you're doing, God. And right now, tonight, God, you said that you are working it out, God. You're working it out for somebody right now in the name of Jesus. And, God, that they shall see, Father God, in the even yeah, God, and I'm going to just stretch out on this. God, you just said, I just hear you say, but even by the morning hour, that, God, that they'll begin to see that things have changed. And so, God, I thank you for that one, God, or that two, God, and whoever this for, God, that they will begin to see even in the morning that, God, that their morning has come. Yay, hey, God, hallelujah. Oh, yay, God, that their morning has come, and they'll be able to rejoice, God, in what you're about to show them and what you're about to do. Oh, so, God, we bless you, God, and we honor you for this word tonight, and that, God, that we stay the course, that we don't be moved by anything, God, circumstances, our conditions, but God, we'll look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we'll say that, God, that you're greater, and that, God, we acknowledge that you're greater, and that, God, that we don't know it like you know it. We can't do it like you can do it, and we can bring our struggles before you. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, God, that this too shall pass, God. God, we thank you, Lord, and even now, God, we pray, God, that there be, God, a calm upon the earth, oh, God, that we pray, God, every plot and every scheme of the enemy, God, will be, God, broke up even now in the name of Jesus, and I pray that every person that's on this broadcast and their families, God, would be safe, and they would be kept, and God, that you, God, would move upon the earth. Oh, God, we thank you now, and we bless you in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, he's a good God, and he's faithful, and he's merciful, and he's kind. So if you're on the broadcast tonight and you have never asked Jesus to just be your priority, and you understand that you don't have no answers, and you've been struggling trying to fix it and trying to wonder how it's going to happen, or you were just shut down out of fear and depression and doubt, but tonight, oh glory, tonight I can say to you that as you make him your priority, if you choose tonight to make him your priority, that your life can begin to change. So if you are that person or persons, I ask that you would just repeat this after me and say that I am a sinner, I acknowledge that I am, and I ask for forgiveness, and now tonight I choose that Jesus, that you would become my priority, and that God, that you would lead and guide me in everything that I do and everything that I say, that my life may change and that I will be all that I have been created to be. I may not understand how to do it, but I'm quite sure you'll show me. And for that, I'm grateful tonight. And I just say, thank you, God. I say, thank you, God. I say, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited. Let me say this. If you're on the broadcast tonight and you said that with me, then I ask that you would just send me, you can send me an email, you can send me a text, You can go to Messenger and message me and let me know that it was you that surrendered tonight, and I'll be able to send you some information that will help you on your new journey. And I just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, bless God tonight. I've enjoyed myself. I just got myself happy tonight. And I just bless God for his faithfulness. So I just bless God for each one of you that have joined me on the broadcast tonight. I thank you for joining me. And you can join me again next month. Also, you can join me on Sunday morning on Facebook Live, where we're having our worship service for Rehoboth Family Life Center. But meet me here again next month, the first Monday of every month, and invite your family and friends. So I say to you tonight, have a great week. Stay close, stay safe, and vote. And don't forget to pray, but watch as well as pray. Be blessed, everybody, and love you guys much. Love you much. Love you much. And if you could just hold now for the final words. Have a great evening. God bless you.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast, good evening and God bless.
I just believe God, I believe, I believe God, I just believe God, I believe, I believe God, I just